Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cupp, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about automated resupply for sleep therapy. It's an ever-evolving topic, and it seems like every time we touch on it, there's new innovations. And here to talk about that is Mike Lawrence. He's the vice president of resupply at Brightree. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Doing great. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for being on, and let's dive in and start. Let's start with a level set, just so that the members of the audience who might not be fully familiar with resupply and sleep therapy are kind of in the loop, so to speak. And that is, real briefly, why is resupply important for both sleep therapy patients and providers?
Gotcha. Great question, Dave. Thanks. So we'll start with patients because everything should be focused on the patient. Resupply is incredibly important for patients that are on this therapy. As we know, sleep is so critical to so many aspects of health. And with the current therapy being CPAP, there are a lot of moving pieces in CPAP therapy with the mask, the tube, the filters, the cushions, the pillows, all that stuff. And we're talking about equipment that is touching a patient's body for 8 hours a night, night after night. Mm-hmm. So getting them fresh supplies on a regular basis is really important for hygiene. So just making sure, obviously, that the patient has a great experience, that the therapy is hygienic and healthy for them, as well as, we think that patients that get resupply more often actually stay on therapy longer. That there's kind of a virtuous cycle there of patients that are getting good, clean, hygienic equipment on a regular basis are engaging with their therapy more and stay on therapy longer. Thus, they get more benefit, more health benefits, downstream out of that therapy. So that's the patients. From the provider standpoint, really simple. Providers, are in this business to help patients. And a big portion of the work, if you do this right, is getting a patient set up properly on CPAP therapy. That first setup with a patient, making sure they understand the machine, how it works, they get the correct mask for them, they understand, the correct cycle to get new equipment and resupply. All that's incredibly important. But then ongoing, getting that patient their supplies on a regular basis allows the provider to kind of recoup a lot of the costs that they put into that setup over a long period of time with the patient. So sending those resupplies on a very regular basis, getting paid for them appropriately, allows that initial setup and getting that patient on therapy to become a long-term profitable enterprise for providers.
Got it. And I would imagine that the positive outcomes that they get from the, from the resupply also mean that they're going to be making a difference with referral partners, because the referral partners will be able to demonstrate positive outcomes to payers and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So, it comes in multiple ways. One, of course, if you've got a referral source that, if they keep seeing their patients year after year staying on therapy after sending them to a certain provider, you'd think that logically that would inspire some loyalty. But as well, it's kind of this virtuous cycle on the revenue side, where if each patient you set up stays longer and orders more, yet it allows you to invest more in each new setup and invest more in those referral relationships, because each new patient is more valuable to the provider. So they can invest more in that relationship. And that makes that kind of loyalty from the referral source even deeper.
Okay. So obviously, lots of important upsides for everybody involved in the care continuum, and especially the patient. What are the typical challenges that sleep providers face when it comes to resupply? Because let's face it, nothing in this industry is easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of the challenges really stem from the complexity of this business. I'll talk about a couple, but if you think at top level, what is the big challenge? It's the complexity in resupply. I always like to think about, hey, if you've got a patient out there, they could have one of hundreds of doctors in this provider's network. They could be, a patient of one of 100 or 1,000 different payers. They could be on a couple different machines. They could have different types of diagnoses that are affecting them. So you look at documents that you need, you look at the schedule that they can get refresh supplies, you look at who their physician is, you look at what state they're in and what the regulatory environment is. There are literally trillions of combinations for you to think through when it's time to give a patient resupply. Are they eligible? What are they eligible for? What documentation do they need, et cetera, et cetera? So that complexity is a real challenge. And what that does is there's a lot of bad fruit from this poisonous tree. One is the process takes a long time if you don't have a great automated system. So for, when you get a resupply order, great, even contacting the patient can be difficult, but you contact the patient, you get an order, understanding all their insurance rules. Do they still have the same insurance? Does it require a copay? Does it require prior auth, et cetera? That's a complicated process. Okay, they need documents. What documents do we have on file? Are these doctors certified correctly? Do these documents have all the appropriate attributes for this payer? Where should I ship this order? Which warehouse has the correct inventory? How do I understand when things are on back order, communicate with the patient? All of these complications take time. They introduce opportunities for error, at the employee level if they're being done manually. And that time and error both cost money for the provider in the long run when you think about it. If you take too long to process an order, you're going to lose some of those orders, but you're also going to lose opportunities for more orders per year. And if you make mistakes on those orders, obviously it's going to cost you money to reship or just losing a patient order because it took too long to provide it. So the complexity of getting all the rules right so you can not only get the patient their equipment quickly, but you can get paid appropriately for doing it. That's the crux of all the problems in resupply.
Okay. So now looking at all those problems, how would you judge where the industry is at? In other words, where is the typical sleep provider at when it comes to resupply and the complexity, efficacy of their resupply operation, and where do they need to be?
Gotcha. Great question. I think of providers as being in one of three buckets. We get to see, we're fortunate at Brightree where we see millions of patients flowing through our software on a monthly basis, and understanding those patients at the provider level to see how well providers are doing at servicing their sleep patients on resupply. We get a really good view of the industry. And again, I bucket this into three different buckets. One, it's pretty easy to tell when a provider doesn't really have an organized program. Two, the second bucket is kind of one step up from that. Hey, there are folks out there you can tell, hey, they've got some kind of organized program. They're doing something and you can see it in their numbers. And then the third bucket is like, hey, these are folks that have really figured out how to do resupply well. They're kind of operating at a best in class, a benchmark. And so really, really quickly when looking at a provider, if you focus in on a couple of numbers, you're going to understand, do they have a program? How well is it run? How much could they improve if they went from nothing to something or something to best in class? So the industry is kind of spread out, but we have seen a migration over the last 5 years or so of especially larger providers really figuring out the resupply space, which is one of the reasons there's so many acquisitions going on in this market, where providers that have figured out how to really serve these patients well and thus get a lot more revenue per patient as a reward for serving those patients, they're consolidating and aggregating up a lot of the patients in the market. So the market's getting smarter and maturing, but we're seeing a lot of activity pulling patients up to kind of that best in class bucket.
Got it. Okay, so we've got a lot of complexity, and it seems like a lot of, like you said, kind of tiers or buckets where sleep providers are at. Enter automated resupply. The topic of today's conversation. Now, this is something that you guys at Brightree have been working on for some time, right?
That's correct. Brightree has two resupply platforms. It has a platform called Brightree Connect that it has been working on for about 10 years, I want to say. and then it has something called SNAP. And SNAP has been is about 10 years old as well. Brightree acquired SNAP several years ago, and they both fit great little niches in our portfolio. So Connect is great for smaller growing customers, customers that have, call it 5,000 patients or less, that are, trying to build a scale resupply platform. Connect does a great job for them. SNAP, when Brightree acquired SNAP, SNAP was built for larger providers. So SNAP is where a lot of the automation comes in, because the automation pays off a lot more at scale. Mm-hmm. Both those platforms have been in existence for 10 years, and we're rolling out every month enhancements in features for both of those platforms. So it's a never ending improvement cycle for us.
So small and large, what does automated resupply look like? In other words, how does it differ from non-automated resupply? Can you kind of paint a picture in the audience's mind?
Sure. And I'll focus on the SNAP platform here for purposes of this example, so we don't have multiple examples for every question. So within SNAP, it's the most automated resupply platform on the market. You have patient experiences and orders that are 100% automated. Obviously, not all orders work that way, but we have a decent percentage of orders where every step of the process is automated in the aspect of the provider doesn't have to have any employee touch that order anywhere in the chain. What do I mean by that? At the outset, SNAP will identify when a patient is eligible for supplies and email or text that patient, or both, depending on how they'd like to be contacted. If the patient responds to that outreach, they're going to click on a link. It will bring up a web page right on their phone or their laptop that shows them, here's all the items you're eligible for. The patient can confirm they want all those items. If it's a Medicare patient that needs to answer some compliance questions, they'll answer the questions of why they need the refill. It will confirm, hey, do you still live at 123 Main Street? The patient confirms they still have the same insurance information. They press submit. That entire order placing process, that order generation, is automated. SNAP then gets that order, because the patient just put that order themselves right into SNAP. SNAP has that order now. It analyzes, okay, let me go out and verify the insurance for this patient. SNAP will reach out to clearinghouse, verify the patient still has the same insurance, et cetera. Everything checks out. SNAP will then analyze all the documents for that patient that are on file and ensure that we have the correct documentation for that insurance and their rules. If that checks out, SNAP will automatically send that order to the warehouse, get a confirmation back from the warehouse with a tracking number, email that tracking number to the patient, say, hey, your stuff is on the way. SNAP will then put that order in the client's billing system in a kind of a ready to confirm state. And that entire process, end to end, no employee touched that. It was entirely automated.
Holy moly. I should be so lucky to have anything like that in my life. So, looking at that, a truly automated workflow and a no-touch workflow, what are some of the key benefits of automating that resupply process?
Gotcha. So a couple things that are obvious and some that are a little less obvious. One of the obvious ones is obviously not having the employee expense, where employees don't need to touch every order and they don't need to touch every order at every step. So in that entirely automated example, there's zero employee overhead costs to serve that patient for that order. And obviously it isn't 100% of orders going through the system, but it is a material percentage, and it's constantly growing as we innovate on the platform. So it's great having less employee expense. One of the less obvious things is the velocity of these orders. So, that entire automated process that I just described can happen within an hour, right? So patient places an orders at the warehouse in a box in an hour, tracking numbers in the patient's email inbox.
Wow.
So why is that important? Obviously the patient experience, right? Patients are used to ordering on Amazon. It's very easy. They get their stuff quickly. So it's great for them to get their stuff quickly. It's also really important if you want to maximize the number of orders your patients get every year. Most providers allow you to send new supplies to your patients every 90 days, and that equals 4 orders a year, right? So 90 days times 4, that's 360 days. So that leaves 5 extra days in the year. There's 365 days in a year, and you've got 360 of those days already locked up if you send out an order exactly the day you get it. Man. So every day or two that it takes to process an order reduces your likelihood of getting another order that year. So we see on a regular basis, providers that are doing 2.2 orders per year, something like that before getting on SNAP, moving up to 2.8, 3, 3.1 orders per year, not only because the system automates a lot of these processes, but just the speed of getting those orders through the system allows you to get another order, another half order per patient per year. And that's a huge deal.
All right. So lots of business upsides. Going back to the patient side and the referral side, there's also a lot of clinical benefits to efficient resupply, I would imagine. How does automating this resupply benefit the sleep therapy?
Yeah, hey, good question. And I think this ties back to the beginning of our conversation, where getting these patients their supplies on a timely basis really improves the hygiene of the interface of that patient with their therapy. And if you think about all the different ways you can outreach to a patient, this is something we try to automate as well. Obviously, there are a lot of patients out there who still prefer to get a phone call and talk to a live human. We see 60% of interactions in resupply still happening that way, but we see 40% of interactions being via text, via email, via a portal, via an app. All of those are tied into to resupply at Brightree. If you think about your day-to-day experience, I know I don't answer the phone for phone numbers I don't recognize. I don't like ordering things on the phone. I'm busy all day. So having a provider be able to service those patients via text, email, app, et cetera, those patients are getting a therapy experience 1,000 times better than they would if the provider is relying only on telephone outreach, because there's just a certain portion of the population that will never respond to that. And you're really doing them a disservice if you can't automate that outreach via whatever the patient prefers.
A lot of benefits up there. Mike, I'm curious, getting back to the business side and maybe also the therapy side, I don't know. Does automating also mean better tracking of the resupply process and the sleep therapy service that the provider is offering overall? Do you guys, measure KPIs that, or monitor them and have reporting and those sorts of things?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question, Dave. There's some obvious stuff and some less obvious stuff. The obvious stuff here is we've got great analytics on this platform where we can track a lot of key metrics. I keep talking about velocity. So we understand cycle time. How long does it take from when an order is placed to when it goes out the door to get to a patient? How many orders does a patient get every year? How many items is in each order? We kind of put those two together to say, hey, how many items does a patient get each year? That's kind of a great revenue metric. So you can really understand the value each patient brings to your program annually. Understanding the attrition rate. So how many of those patients are you losing every year? Understanding your attrition rate plus the yearly value of a patient helps you put a lifetime value on that patient. So, hey, I know patients are worth $500 in revenue per year, and I keep them for 5 years. Great. Each patient is worth $2,500 in revenue. That's a really great number for providers to know. This is all kind of on the obvious side of things. On the less obvious side of things, this automation that we have that can move an order all the way from generation to shipment without a human touch means the software understands what's going on with each order all the time. And what that means is we can actually expose that information to patients. So patients can go into our app and say, hey, why has my order shipped? And the app will tell them, hey, we're waiting for insurance information. We're waiting for a prior authorization. We're waiting for a prescription from your provider. We're waiting for, there's an item on back order, so it hasn't shipped. So The software knows what's going on every step of this automation process, and it can expose that information to the patient directly, you know, via an app or an email. It can also expose that information indirectly. You know, the patient calls into the provider, hey, where's my stuff? The provider, there's a button on our screen that just says, why hasn't this order shipped? You know, whoever answers the phone can press that button. It'll tell them exactly, hey, tell the patient their order hasn't shipped because we need their insurance information. And by the way, the patient's on the phone with you. Get their insurance information.
So yeah, there you go.
It's a fantastic way to use a lot of this information.
There you go. I love the idea of just being, you know, like that it's, you know, prompting people to get the to get the obvious info. Okay, so you mentioned earlier that this is a work in progress, that you guys are constantly making enhancements to your automated resupply solutions. I'm curious, you know, is that coming from engagement with the providers? Do you guys find out new ways that you can automate further in your dialogues with your client providers?
Yeah, great question, Dave. So it comes from two ways. We definitely hear great ideas from our providers all the time. And frankly, you know, it never ceases to surprise me of like somebody comes up with an idea and like, how did we not think of that before? It's such a great idea. And we're, like I said, we're releasing new features and enhancements on a monthly basis to the platform. But some of these ideas are generated internally just because we kind of have this vision where we want to automate everything. And so we're constantly looking around in the process saying, what isn't automated yet? And let's go after that. So we kind of call these efficiency frontiers. So you know, we're constantly pushing the frontier forward. Okay, we automated this big step. What's the next thing? So an example that we've done recently is with an integration with ePrescribe platforms. So I described the perfect, you know, kind of automated order earlier. Hey, you know, snap, checked for documents. We have all the right stuff. We move along. What if we don't have the right stuff? What if we're missing a document, you know, to help this patient's order get shipped? We now have integration with GoScripts, and we're working on adding other ePrescribe solutions to this, where, you know, Snap will understand that we need a new document. It will reach out automatically to the ePrescribe platform, ask for exactly what we need. If the doctor signs everything in the ePrescribe platform, Snap will ingest that document back into the system with all of the correct data. It will log that document in the patient's file. It will release the order automatically. And even though this patient was missing a document, fixing it was entirely automated. Went and got the document, logged it, released the shipment, sent it to billing. So we're constantly looking for things like that where, hey, where can we automate the next piece of this process?
Okay, so lots to learn about here. How can people find out more?
Great, they should go to our website, brighttree.com/resupply. And there's a place where we can capture your contact info and somebody great will reach out and start helping whoever contacts us understand more about how Brighttree Resupply works.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks very much for stopping by the podcast and sharing some information.
No problem. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. I think we'll wrap up today's episode. Thanks again to Mike for talking about automated sleep resupply. And again, you can find out more about resupply at Brighttree at brighttree.com/resupply. Easy enough. Before I sign off, I have a question for you all. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? I hope you do. If so, please take a quick second. Please take a quick second to rate and review this episode. Also, please, if you haven't done so already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. If you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. Again, if you haven't done so, and also if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at hmebusiness on all the services. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. The best way is by email, and that's DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics, such as automating HME workflows like sleep resupply, But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.